This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Today's episode carries a trigger warning. Themes of pregnancy and abortion are discussed. Listener discretion is advised.
This podcast is like our baby, mm-hmm. our sister, hopefully.
I feel like I'm falling in love with you every day.
Chill out.
I'm telling you, Mob, when I first met IJ, like we talked hours.
Kaya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast, a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other Mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Borloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Central to our show is our black lens and perspective, which comes from our lived experience as black girls in today's society. On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode. So stay tuned.
Hi, everyone. It's Shah here, and welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast. Today, I am joined. Oh, my God, I'm so giggly. I don't know why. Today, I am joined by my queen, Amber Ugle Hayward. Whoop, whoop. Amber.
Hi.
How are you, my love? How are you feeling?
I am good. I'm feeling pretty, you know, happy and, you know, just vibing at the moment.
Vibing at the moment. Yeah, no. How was that weather coming in? I feel like it was so sunny this morning and then just like the clouds.
It's just so crazy.
I know.
Like, the last couple of days has been so beautiful, you know, really nice, and then out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. It's just, we're back to square one. We're back to being gloomy. It doesn't feel like autumn.
No, it doesn't. It
doesn't. Or what's the Noongar season we're in at the moment? Jiren?
Yeah, I think so.
It doesn't feel like that. The cold winds haven't hit yet, and Perth is known for being windy. But anyways, enough about the weather. Amber, do you want to introduce yourself to the podcast? This is my first time. IJ's not here. It's just Shah's annoying voice today. IJ's not with me. And this is my first time interviewing someone on our podcast alone. So I hope it goes well. And I'm glad you're here. Like, if anyone, I'm so glad it's you, sis. So feel free to introduce yourself. Like, who's your mob and where are you from?
So my name is Amber Ugle Hayward. And I'm a proud Noongar woman with family connections to, you know, Ballardong, Menang, Wilman and Kanang Noongar country. So that's beautiful. From, you know, Narrajin to Ngawangara up to Albany connection. So I have a lot of mob and a lot of family. Mm. And I also have, you know, the family connections like the Ugles, the Haywards, the Woods and Robert's mob. So that's a lot of family.
Lots.
And then, yeah, from there, like even related from there, there's heaps as well.
It's a family bush, not a family tree.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they say. Do you go back to your country often or?
Not at the moment. I've lived in Perth since 2015. Mm. I grew up all over WA, so I've lived in Port Hedland, Esperance, Bunbury, Cunningham, Wathaurou, Kalbarri, like I grew
everywhere.
Up.
Yeah. Everywhere.
Basically.
Is there a reason for that or was it just family always relocating?
No, my dad was a teacher and he became a teacher later in life, and to progress really quickly to become a senior teacher, you go to all the schools that nobody wants to go to. So basically we did that for many years. Like I ended up going to 13 different schools across the state. So, yeah, know a lot of people, been everywhere basically. But, yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh. And this brings you here in Perth.
Yes.
Amber and I actually go back. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like I think about it from time to time. Like we went to high school together at Mount Lawley. And you were year eight. Weren't you year eight?
I was young.
You were ninny year eight. Ninny. And I was a year 10 and we were in the same Aboriginal program.
We were. I always used to look at Amber as like a big sister because
Even now, you give big sister energy. And I've never had a big sister in my life. So this is, the sweetest thing ever. You were always looking out for us.
Yeah.
You were always, the leader. It was so cool. And you were, sporty, proper sporty and,
Well, cool. I try to be sporty, but I remember one time we had to speak in front of the whole school assembly.
Oh, crap.
Back in the day. Mm. And it was, our school had how many students?
I don't know.
1,000.
I think so.
Yeah, because Mount Lolly was so big.
It was big, yeah.
Yeah, and we did it for a couple of us did it for, I think it was NAIDOC week.
Yeah,
and we
was.
Did an event, and then a few of us spoke, and I remember doing that, and I was shitting myself the whole time.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like it's different when you do it to, school kids.
Yeah. Compared to...
proper people.
Yeah.
Because, school kids are... they are feral, man. They will tell you how it is. I remember even after that, I used to do acknowledgement of countries and stuff.
Yeah.
And if I slip up once, you can tell people, these school kids be staring and they're she just messed up. Yeah. And they talk about it for a whole day. So no, it's nerve wracking. I feel you. But now look at you, experienced, cool, the best. You're the best.
Well, I try to be, but nobody's perfect. And, it's all about, growing
of
yourself
course.
As a human and
all that sort of stuff.
Supporting our community.
I will just say, can I just make a little one? Because Amber's known for being the most, you're so humble for everything you're worth, obviously. But all my friends, everyone I know is always Amber, because you're so supportive as as a soul. One of my friends is painting your boots.
Yeah.
And then another one, you babysat? Was it babysat?
Cat sat.
House sat, cat sat, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I don't own a cat, nor do I own a baby, but whatever. You cat sat IJ's cat for a bit. You helped my friend out with her jewelry business. You're so supportive. You're so supportive, and it always makes my heart warm because I'm I go way back with this Yorga, and she's just the most amazing, beautiful soul. And it just makes my, me feel so wholesome knowing you because you're just amazing as a soul. But anyways, enough about that. Emma, what do you do? Because you're so prominent in the community, what is it that you do? What's your current role? What do you get up to? What's the day in the life of Amber Ugle Hayward?
Day in the life. So at the moment, before I even start work, I'm at the gym.
Wow.
I injured my MCL a couple months ago in a practice match for footy. The season didn't even start. I just injured it 2 weeks before the season started, which is, as a football player, really frustrating. So on the way to recovery with my rehab, but even before I start the day, I do the gym.
Mm.
And then my day-to-day life, I work at the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage.
Whoop, whoop, public service.
Public service.
Whoop, whoop. I feel you on that.
And I'm a senior heritage officer, so I work in the heritage area of the department, and I'm actually on a project called the Sites of Truth Telling Project.
Beautiful.
So that's a really niche project that's not really, it's funded separately from, the core business. And so it's a really special project to be on, and, I'm really happy to do that. So other than working at the department, I play footy on the outside and I do some volunteering at the moment. So try to fill up my life with doing stuff. And with that volunteering, it really ranges on what I'm doing. So in a couple of weeks, I'll be doing a keynote Q&A panel with Swan Districts for National Reconciliation Week. So talking about the theme and my experience in relation to that theme. And on a Wednesday night, every fortnight, I go down to Foyer Oxford, which is an accommodation for youth, which I used to live in back when I was 16 and 17. And, spending time with First Nation residents and kind of being that mentor for them. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Oh, my God, you're so busy. How do you balance all of that? I'm just so... I can't even get out of bed in the morning, we were meant to start today. I'll be exposing myself. I was like to Amber, I messaged her, I'll be there at 8:30. Did I get here at 8:30? Yeah, I did, but I had to fly. I was planning my route. I was if I don't make it at 8:30, I'm going to look so, late. I'm running on blackfella time.
Yeah, blackfella time.
But no, you're so, it sounds like you get up to a lot of different things.
Well, I try to do that. Like, I try to diversify what I'm doing in my spare time because, like, I feel like if I'm not doing something as a person, then it's one of those things that I got to do something.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Like, I think for me, my motivation is to be out helping community, be with my football team.
What's your star sign? Just Can I guess? I know you're born in January, but that could either be Aquarius or Capricorn. I think you're a Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I can totally tell. Sorry, I'm like, I don't know why I'm invested in star signs so much, but I can tell, like, it's coming off.
Yeah.
The Capricorn energy of just continuously doing things to keep yourself busy is just...
It's quite interesting. Like, I'm very into astrology as well. So, that's lovely. Capricorn sun, but then I'm like Pisces moon and rising, so it's like it's like
I'm double Capricorn Pisces. Rising, you're double Pisces, you're double water, so you're very like creative as well.
But like I feel like the avenues of like my creativeness isn't really touched on. I feel like it's more like the emotional kind of side,
I feel you on that. I'm also a Cancer moon. So I feel you on the water. I feel you on the water moon.
Yeah.
But like my Earth rising is just really like serious. People always tell me, you're so serious. I'm like, it's my Earth rising. My Capricorn rising. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm a Sagittarius sun. Yeah. So I'm like all over the place all the time. My ADHD comes from my Sagittarius. I know that. And then my seriousness comes from my Cap. And then my emotions come from my Cancer. So I feel you on that. Pisces double. Yeah, we blessed in the west, no doubt. North to the south, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. But how do you balance your day-to-day life then? Like, you do so much for the community. You do so much for people. And how does that actually scratch that balance question? That's such a niche question. Do you feel like that's what brings you joy?
I think the way that I look at life and I kind of like the impact you have on others is... You only have one life, and for me to get satisfaction is to help others. And, you know, whether that's through volunteering at different kind of organizations or just, you know, supporting others, that's what brings me joy. Like, I'm going to do what I can to help others, but also to help myself in a way.
Yeah, exactly. And that's beautiful. Like, that's amazing stuff. And, what was your journey to getting where you are now?
I would say that it kind of started in high school. So when I was 17, this is back in 2017, my year 12. And I guess I'd like to talk about some of like the big things that happened back in 2017. In January of that year, my auntie, Rebecca Haywood, she went missing in Alice Springs, and that was such a massive thing for me because, you know, I knew no one that had experienced someone missing in their life, and it was year 12, so the end of my whole, like, high school, primary school life. It was one of those things that really, I think, impacted the way I was that year, and you know, she's still missing and we don't really know much about, like, what happened to her. And so, for me, it's like a unresolved trauma that's gonna, you know...
Carry on
for the rest of my life. And I guess, yeah, so that happened at the beginning of 2017. And at that same time, I was playing footy and I, you know, it's one of the joyous moments was getting into the under-17 state team, and that was the first time I ever trialed out for that state team, so I was really proud of myself. I at that time was living at Foyer Oxford, and you know, honestly, that was kind of a struggle for me as a 17-year-old. I was on Centrelink, and that basically barely made it livable, so I struggled sometimes with like not eating or making sure that I would pay the bills and not have any luxuries with the remaining money. And you know, at the same time, I was lucky enough to do a, you know, school-based traineeship with Maxima, and that was as a bank teller at Westpac, so that kind of gave me extra money throughout the year. But over and all, my year 12 experience was really, I guess, really rough. At the end of year 12, I got a C grade average. And as someone who used to get A's and B's, it was a bit disappointing. But, you know, I survived it and, you know, managed to get through.
Mm.
And then at the end of year 12, I was offered a full-time position as a bank teller. And I was like, yay, a lot of money, you know. And it was a lot of money for me, which was like around $1,700 per fortnight.
Yeah.
Like, that was a lot of money, yeah. Especially in 2017.
100%.
But the thing is, with the key performance indicators, the KPIs, mm. I was not cutting it. The job did not bring me joy. So I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. And so instead of doing that, I applied for UWA's Aboriginal Orientation course, and I got into that course in 2018.
Mm.
And that was a really great opportunity for me to actually explore getting a uni degree. Unfortunately, I did not pass that year. So at the end of 2018, I decided to repeat the course in 2019. And I did that until I experienced some bullying from other people who I knew around that community. And I was like, my mental health is not
cutting
it.
You're not going to sacrifice your mental health to deal with lateral violence, would you say?
Yeah, I think the way that I'll describe it, it was, because it was the people from my own community, and it felt like all the rumours were like about me and how I treated other people, when it wasn't that. It was a different kind of thing. And, you know, I tried my hardest to kind of make sure that, you know, I wasn't doing that, and people like to warp and change that perception of people. So that's what happened to me. And so at the end of in the middle of 2019, because I had to repeat it, obviously, at the middle of 2019, I moved back to my mum's place, and, you know, I was working at the reject shop, and I changed my job position to go to Big W, get more hours, get more money, and I was a party enthusiast.
Whoop, whoop. And you're having a 25th next year.
Oh, yeah.
You showed me photos of your little idea.
Yeah, my Pinterest kind of vibe, quarter-life crisis kind of thing. But, yeah, I know how to arrange balloons, so I'm like, I don't need to pay people to do that. I can do it myself. So, yeah, that's what basically a party enthusiast did. They arranged balloons for people. And, you know, honestly, I was like, this is good money, but this is not what I want for my life. Like, I knew I had potential, and I knew I had motivation to do something else. And at the end of 2019, I applied for the Public Sector Commission's Aboriginal Traineeship Program, and I was lucky enough to get into it. And that following year, which was 2020, the year of COVID,
we did not speak of,
I was accepted as a trainee at the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage. Yeah, so I really worked hard to establish myself. Mm. I made sure to do any extracurriculars, pick up tasks. Like, during that year, I was on the department's Reconciliation Action Plan committee, and I wanted to do that. And I helped organise events, and I also did, like, another project, which was creating stories for the new meeting room names. So if you go to the department, there's different towns that are named after the meeting rooms, and I wrote some of the stories. Aww. So yeah, that's one of the projects that I did. And then from there, it was basically a step into government. I had the motivation, and I had the need to, you know, make sure that I was working hard and trying new experiences. So from 2020, I was in one position, and then I was seconded to a different department in 2021, which took me to the Department of Jobs, Tourism, Science and Innovation. And then from there, I went from a level one, which was a trainee, all the way to a level five over the next 4 years, which brings us to where I am at now as a senior heritage officer.
Ooh, that's
as
amazing.
A level five within 4 years. So I made sure that I you know, made the networks, connected with people at the different departments I went to. I didn't went, like, I've been to, I think it was, is three departments. I've worked across consumer protection, which is at Department of Energy, Mines, Industry Regulation and Safety. Went back to JETSI, which was Jobs, Tourism, Science and Innovation. Yes. Like, a lot of acronyms.
A lot of acronyms. Government.
Government. So, yeah, I've, you know, just made the best of what I can do. And, yeah, I'm really enjoying where I'm working at now.
That's amazing. Your journey, your come up, everything. It's just so motivating because it's, like, hard work and resilience without faltering once. It doesn't seem like you faltered once. Like, I'm sure you've had your bad days and you've had days where you're like, oh, what is this? What we've all, it's a universal experience, you know? But you just sound like you're always constantly onto it and so inspiring, and your story and, you know, like being young and independent at such an, I mean, well, being independent at a young age, it's the, it's something that you don't want to ever go through again, hey? But you're glad, like, I don't know. It's just really, you're really resilient and I really am motivated and in awe of you for that. Even though it's not fun being told that, do you think, like, do you think you've been, do you think you've experienced that burnout of just constantly being resilient and resilient and strong? And
it's quite interesting the way that I see, like, my whole life, not just work, not just my personal life. It's a combination of all those experiences is what has made me today. Like, if I didn't experience moving to 13 different schools across WA, I would not be comfortable with change or meeting new people. So it's like you could see a lot of things as a negative, but for me there's always a lesson out of it and there's a way to, you know, learn and grow. So
always.
Always.
I love that for you. That's amazing stuff, Amber. And yeah, just it just sounds like you've had quite the journey, and I'm just I always seen you as a big sister. So awesome stuff. It's awesome stuff. And I can see you're repping clothing the Gaps today.
Yes.
I was looking at that as you were talking and I was like, girl.
It's actually like I've been a huge fan of Clothing the Gap since 2020, so it kind of like aligns with me being in government and actually having that paycheck to buy the really
to buy the nice and staunch mob.
Yes. Representing. And the thing is, like, I'm not afraid to wear my Clothing the Gaps or any other Aboriginal owned business merch at work. It's the thing is, the way I see it is, as an Aboriginal person, you're the way that you work, you're always going to be an Aboriginal person first and foremost. So for me, it's about, you know, repping and being really proud of who I am, even though that we don't have that many good experiences.
No, hell no. But it's just staunch, it's deadly, it's deadly stuff. If anyone wants any advice from Amber, if anyone wants any, like, little tips, because I feel like I need some after this to get to that level, then please, like, feel free to let, like, ask her, because I mean, I know I'm definitely inspired by her and everything she does, and you always look so staunch and amazing. Damn. What a place to be, living in the middle of the hills and the sea. It's so real to me that I get to chase my dream, my friends and my family, I mean. So Amber, on this podcast we discuss the topic of love quite a lot, and I know I shared my story a couple of episodes ago, and I discussed the negatives of it, and I was quite, I don't know, I was in a very, very vulnerable state, and I felt like I was, I felt like this podcast was like such an open space to talk about, in a safe space to talk about it, because my experience with love wasn't that great at the time. And we do, IJ and I shed a lot of light on creating that safe space for our, for our, for our sisters, for our brothers, whoever, who have experienced it before. And I just want to ask you, like, what are your experiences with, like, balancing love
and your goals or ambitions for work and extracurricular activities that you do? Because it sounds like you do go through a lot. It sounds like you go through a lot. Because yeah. I feel like if I had a love life right now with everything I'm doing, and I'm not doing a lot. Like, all I do is go to work, wake up, go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
But even if I had a love life, I feel like I would not be able to like really fit that into my life at the moment. What about yourself? Like, how do you fit love into your life? How do you fit building relationships, whether it be platonic, romantic, whatever, into yeah. everything that you do?
It's quite an interesting one. And I guess before I share my experience, I just want to give like some context why I'm so open about sharing this experience. And that's because a couple weeks ago I was hospitalized with meningitis, which is when an infection gets into your brain and can cause some really severe symptoms. It was honestly really serious, and during that time it gave me time to think. And it reminded me of my goal to be authentic, truthful, and to share my experience to help others. So,
of course,
that's kind of like the context on what I'm going to have a yarn about.
Do you think, and I mean, with that context given, was it due to a relationship that you feel like, because we discussed this on the topic of love, Black love especially, that was our main topic. But we discussed, RJ and I, how sometimes your body has like a response to a negative experience. Yeah. Do you think that could have been it? I mean, I don't want to make assumptions. You're probably going to tell us soon.
I think it was more like, for me, having that hospitalization, it was like, you know how things comes in threes?
Yeah.
For me, it was I injured my knee, did my MCL, and then I had to end a relationship, which was a really rough time, which I'm going to elaborate on. And then the third thing was being hospitalized with meningitis. And I think for me, that's like a whole reset of my life and, you know, my outlook on like, this is your life, do what you want, pursue your own goals, and make sure you live your life for yourself.
100%. 100%. So that comes in threes thing, I'm going to keep that in mind because I'm going to definitely refer back to that from now on. But anyways, as you were saying, you're talking about how you wanted to share your experiences to help other people.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do really want to share my most recent relationship experience. And honestly, I have to say there's always two sides of every story, you know.
True.
This is just my truth and what my perspective is. So I guess here's my story.
It's a good thing you're sharing this, actually. Here's my story. But yeah, it's a good thing you're sharing that, because it's not necessarily, it's nothing to be ashamed about. I feel like people do that, because I also recently shared my story with the Sovereign listeners, and IJ and I spoke about a lot of vulnerabilities during that episode. It was really hard to open up. I was talking about quite rough topics, from it, you know, a lot of different conversations were sparked.
Yes.
And I think it's important to share our stories, especially as Black women. Yeah. We're often dimmed. We're often told we're the crazy ones. We're often the angry ones. We're often the ones that are neglected, whether it be on media, whether it be just in general, really. Yeah. We're always the last option, second thought. So sharing your story is quite an impeccable experience, and it's very important. So honestly, feel free to share it with us. Yeah. We're so grateful to have you here. And I've learned that the more you speak about something, the more comfortable other people feel to also speak about it as well.
So here we go. So last year I started seeing a really ambitious, creative and career-driven guy. And honestly, when we first started talking, it was great. I felt loved, valued and respected.
As we all do when we first talk to a fella. Oh, my days. Oh, these snakes. But anyway.
And honestly, he was my dream guy. I think when I first saw him, it was like, wow, like, you're just so amazing. And just to give some important context, our relationship timeline, we dated for 2 months, became official, which lasted 3 months. And then because I was so in love with this guy, when he broke up with me, we became a situationship.
Oh, my days. Yeah. What, the situationship?
The situationship. And, we were together on his terms, which lasted another 4 months. Yeah.
Amber.
Lasted longer than us being actually official, so.
Amber.
So I guess throughout this whole situationship, I chose to prioritize his needs, goals, and ambitions. I happily volunteered to be in his organization that he ran to support his projects and honestly his day-to-day life.
So you were really like neglecting your own?
Yes. I was like, I'm going to fill up my whole day or my whole week, my whole weekend with him.
Oh, man. I just rolled my eyes for the listeners. But it's not your fault. It's not your fault. I think that's very, it's something with when you're just, when you find, I think you found someone or when you really feel that first wave of love and passion, yeah. That's what you dedicate it to. Yeah. Like, it's not your fault for sure.
And like, honestly, the types of things that I would do is I would finalize a grant for him as soon as possible so he could meet deadlines.
Days. Just so he could meet it.
Yeah, I would. Look, this is really cringy for me to say.
But, no, say it.
I would drive him everywhere.
I feel you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Sis.
But it's like, honestly, like, I would drive him to his doctor's appointments. I would make sure he was on time. I would wait outside in my car.
Mm.
And sometimes I would, like, run from 30 to 45 minutes,
you know,
and then, you know, take him wherever he wanted to go. I bought him everything that he wanted. Basically, I showered him with love and support. And I chose to try to make his life easier and happier, which I think I did. I basically made choices to support his ambitions and dreams, and I took a step back in what I wanted to pursue.
Yeah.
And honestly, as we kept going, I realized I wasn't getting what I kind of needed. I wasn't receiving anything that was on the level that I was given.
It felt like you were so undervalued, hey? And that's like the worst feeling to have.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I was so in love with him that I had, you know, the rose-coloured glasses on.
Yeah.
I would ignore it.
Ignore the red flags.
Ignore the red flags.
Because you were clinging on to that one, like, oh, he complimented me today. Oh, that's so good. Like, that excuses everything he's done
He
before.
Said good morning.
The bare minimum, right? Like,
yeah.
That is so universal. That is so universal. But why do you think you chose to prioritise him over what you wanted? Because I feel like not a lot of people realize they're doing that when they first get into a relationship.
Yeah. I think,
or a situationship or whatever.
Yeah, honestly, I just think it was a lot of things. He was my first ever official relationship. Aww. You know, at the age of 23, that's pretty sad, but
not really. I think that's when you're most mature to be like, I'm ready for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like, you know, he basically was my first love.
Oh, sweet.
And, like, with our relationship, I shared all of my traumas and the things I would never tell anyone else. And I trusted him. And I also think one of the reasons why I stayed was because we went through a shared trauma early on in our relationship.
Okay.
And the thing is, I'm going to share this because I think a lot of women go through this and it's a bit taboo to publicly talk about it.
Yeah, of course.
I also feel like it helps people understand the why I stayed in the relationship for so long and why people might even stay even though it seems like you should leave. So I guess here we go. In our first month or second month of being official, I became pregnant. This was my first ever pregnancy. And honestly, when I first saw the positive pregnancy test, my heart, you know, really dropped.
Same.
It sunk to the bottom of my stomach. and all the feelings of being in shock and how could this happen just hit me. I was honestly dumbfounded.
It would have been really dumbfounding. And yeah. Do you think you were in a good place in your relationship guy when you found out, or were you in a very shitty?
I think it was like, you know, the blissful stages, you know, the puppy love, like the the reciprocation. Like he was really reciprocating during that stage of our relationship. Like he was, you know, the one to message first or like send me an Instagram reel. The honeymoon stage.
And so that would have been really shocking for you, and you didn't know what would happen from here. But then how did you tell him?
Yeah, I was so nervous. We've previously had, like, you know, the car yarn here and there, and you know,
the car yarns,
the driving.
I used to do my car yarns at King's Park.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy? We used to park up at King's Park and we'd just have a car.
Yeah. Well, mine would be when we're driving home from work. We would have that, you know, because I was
de-stress
working.
Time.
Yeah, I was working in Fremantle and we were working in similar locations, so we, you know, drove here and there. And I remember vividly that he said he would not want any children at age because, you know, it was just one of those conversations where, like, he had a family member who had a child when they were really young and he didn't want to go through that because it was just his personal opinion.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I was like, I kind of know, kind of suspected that he wouldn't want to keep it.
Oh.
So I guess how I told him is I remember going to his place and having a chat in person and speaking to him, you know, honestly, he was shocked, but ultimately he was really supportive of me and whatever was going to happen. And from there, we decided not to go through with the pregnancy. And so the alternative to being pregnant is to go through an abortion.
Of course.
And I guess from there to go through that abortion, it happened in stages. So I did a couple of things.
Okay.
I personally went to the GP for a referral to get an ultrasound to see how far I was, just because, you know, pregnancy tests don't actually show you how far you're. It's not like the actual, like, date. It just gives you an approximation. So my ex and I, we went to the ultrasound together, which was really supportive of him. And after the whole scan, she told me and him how long or how far I was. And then at the end of the scan, the ultrasound lady was like, "Congratulations." So
that is so...
Yeah. It was... The thing is, like, my GP advised me to not tell them what... We were going to do just to protect us, you know, that decision. She didn't want us, the people who was doing the scan, to influence what was happening. So,
of course. But congratulations at the end of it would have been really... bless whoever said that. Bless their soul, obviously. But at the same time, that would have been so triggering.
Yeah, it was so awkward. Like, I was like, okay.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I felt so guilty about the whole process, but for me, I needed to go through with it because before I support a child, I want, like, a home, I want a permanent full-time job, I want to make sure that child is set up for life. And for me, last year, I was not set up for life, so it's like, I don't want to go through with that and really struggle
and also put your child through that as well. I don't think anyone really talks about that guilt.
Yeah, the guilt.
No one talks about that guilt. Even though you're, you know, in your mind, you're making the right decision, it's still, did you feel that sense of guilt?
Yeah, I think because, like, I'm a big, like, baby fan. Like, I love babies. I love children. I used to, like, say that I was going to have 7 children because my mum has 7 children.
Oh,
so I was
God.
Like, I got to kind of, like, meet her. And the competition.
It's a competition. You're going to have 8.
Yeah. So, like, you know, when I told all my siblings, I think, well, all my sisters, they were very supportive of me because I think deep down they knew that I was a big baby lover. Like, I love children, so it was like a really hard time. But to kind of like break down the process of what the next steps was, is I had a referral to Sexual Health Quarters, which is in Northbridge at the moment.
Yeah.
And I had a couple appointments with them, and I did multiple blood tests to like check if like I was okay, if the whole process was okay.
Mm.
And just for everyone's, just for FYI, there's the two types of abortion, the surgical and medical. And I personally went through with a medical abortion, which is like the similar experience to Amory on Heartbreak High.
Season two.
With taking the tablets. So that was kind of my experience with that whole process.
I think at the start you said it's a bit taboo to go into this. I think it's the reason why it's taboo is because we don't hear about it as often as we should. We don't see it in mainstream media.
Yeah.
We don't hear experiences like yours as often. And this is a very hard and vulnerable thing to talk about. But you're really helping a lot of people who have been on a similar boat, or are thinking about that. And we don't talk about it even in our communities. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard anyone really talk about it.
And the thing is, like, the way I see it is, like, I think it should be normalised. But I think it's an opportunity to provide someone a safe space to talk about that experience. Like, I remember talking to a few people about my experience, and we just connected because they've had that same experience.
And sometimes that could be even a leading point. Yeah. I mean, when you're scared and you know you can't have that safe space with someone, like, where do you go? Like, what do you do? Yeah. So it's awesome how it's being normalized now, I guess, in a sense. Like, we saw it on season two of Heartbreak High, and it seemed daunting for a lot of women, I think, and the guilt and the whole experience of it. I think it seems like it would have been really hard, but and I'm really sorry you had to go through that too, Amber. Like, that's really that would have been really devastating. But now that it's happened, how do you feel about it now? Like,
Obviously it was like one of those things that I didn't think I'd experience, being a, you know, 23-year-old playing footy. So overall it was really hard. I personally still haven't processed the full impact of going through with an abortion. And I know I have to, but I guess reflecting on it at this point, in an alternative world, if I did go through with a pregnancy, I would have already had the baby. So it's like kind of crazy how time, you know, flies past, and like how, you know, I would have already had the baby if I decided to go down that path.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in a sense that is quite comforting to look back on.
Yeah.
But in regards to your ex relationship as well, not to steer the ship, what do you think about it because of that, after your, you know, after that horrible, horrible incident, one that would have been so traumatic for both of you, I can imagine, especially for you as well. What do you think about the relationship as a whole, and do you think the pregnancy really took a turn?
I think as a whole, by the end of it, we really did become toxic.
Yeah.
He was doing stuff that I didn't like, and I know for sure that I was doing things he wouldn't have been happy with. And I do think the whole pregnancy was a factor on how long I stayed, because he really supported me during that time. And, you know, like, it's just one of those things that, like, what could have happened if we chose the alternative, you know what I mean? So it was like me being attached to him.
Yeah.
And the whole toxic side, I honestly would talk to him about the things that, you know, made me feel upset, and he wouldn't care about how it affected me, basically. And the thing is, like, in return, some of the things he would do is he followed random girls on Instagram and, started liking a revealing pic, where there was, like, a bikini pic and stuff like that. And I would get so upset. I'd literally...
That would ruin my self-esteem too if my partner was doing something like that.
Yeah, and I don't think he got that, like...
Men don't understand. They do that whole thing. They're like, okay, I'll just delete Instagram then. Yeah. Or, oh, okay, like,
do I you accidentally want me to unfollow liked it. Her?
Yeah, yeah, literally, literally, I hate that. Yeah. Those TikTok videos of them mimicking that as well. It's just so funny because that's such a universal, like, annoyingly, it's a universal experience. But
yeah, I don't think they realise that, like, the way I see it is your action of liking that pic is your intention to show that you're showing something's there.
Exactly. And, like, the girl herself would go around saying,
oh, my God, oh my God,
this guy liked my photo. Like, and then, I mean, I don't know if you did where you guys, like, there's that saying, it's, like, private but not secret. Were you guys private but not secret, or were you guys just strictly just...
It would be private because, like, the thing is, like, I didn't want to be, I guess, I didn't want to be secret, but it felt like I was. Like, he was very, like, I'm a private person. My Instagram is, like, my business account.
Okay.
My friends know about you and my family know about you, and that's the only thing that kind of matters to him.
Mm.
But it didn't really matter. Like, our values didn't align because I wanted to be public and I wanted to be like, you should be proud of me, like...
Show me off,
like... Yeah. And he wasn't doing that, like, it just didn't align with what or how he saw things. But, yeah, like, literally I would tell him something, I'd be in tears crying to him about how it impacted me, whether it was, like, the self-esteem and stuff like that. But it fell on deaf ears, and, you know, it taught me that no matter what you do for someone, whether it's doing small stuff, like for me it was buying him his favourite Biscoff-flavoured food whenever I saw it and, like, I would give it to him, or it would be whenever I was driving him to and fro. It taught me that you can't make them love you through your actions. And, you know, honestly, when I look back on how we ended, I was heartbroken.
Yeah.
I was shattered. I was sad. I was angry. I felt betrayed.
Yeah.
I gave him everything I could, and it felt like it still wasn't good enough for him.
I, just hearing you say that, it just strikes a nerve, doesn't it? Because you're like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing wrong? I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm literally loving you with everything I have. Is that not enough sometimes? And I think that's because we idolize the person we love so much in our head that, you know, when it comes to an end, your body responds to the trauma by shutting out, feeling betrayed, feeling angry, especially with whatever happened. And if you don't mind, do you, what caused the end of this relationship? What actually happened?
Yeah. I think when I share this, I think a lot of other young women would probably have a similar experience.
Yeah, of course.
But basically, one night I got upset about him liking a random girl's bikini pic. And we had an argument, like, it was a full-blown argument. I was in tears. And the thing is, like, how it happened is I was going to see him, and then it popped up on my Instagram feed, or, like, one of the Instagram stuff, that he liked it. And then I saw him afterwards, and I was, like, distressed. I was in tears, and, like, we were, like, I just couldn't even process it.
Yeah.
And we had an argument, but by the end of the night we kind of resolved it and we were okay with each other. But the following day I felt like something was wrong, and that I wasn't okay with what he did, his action of, like, liking that bikini pic. And I also had, like, my intuition. It was going crazy. Like,
it would have.
Something was happening, and my gut was telling me something was happening.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I spoke to him about not being okay with it, and he told me he wanted space. So I was like, okay.
All
right. I'll give you space.
Yeah.
And later that night, we messaged here and there, but again, I had a gut feeling that something was happening. So what I did was, I used my spam account on Instagram.
We've all been there, yeah. Sissy. I used to do the same, or I made another account.
Yeah. And what I did was I messaged the girl that he liked the bikini pic of, and she responded the following day. So it was like day three of this whole experience. And what happened was, she told me that he was messaging her and kind of like exploring a connection.
Mm.
But what's like so heart-wrenching is that a couple hours earlier, I messaged him in the morning and I was like, are you talking to someone else? And he was like, no, I just wanted space.
Mm.
So he denied it. I gave him the opportunity for him to like tell me what was happening, but he flat out like lied to me, and I felt so sick and upset. And through that whole process, the girl that I messaged, she messaged him to let her know that I was messaging her, which is fair. And that's when we argued again, and he said to me he was keeping his options open, as well as calling me crazy, and that I was crazier than his ex that assaulted and abused him. And for me, he knew that was going to hurt me because we spoke about it the whole time of his relationship. And for me, for that comparison, I was like, why you got to hurt me like that?
Mm.
He also kind of like said that if I didn't get upset about him liking her bikini pic, that he wouldn't have messaged her.
Mm.
So basically he blamed me for being the reason why he messaged her and explored that connection.
Yeah, of course. That would have been so bad.
Yeah, so after that, we blocked each other and we went no contact.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff, sis. Like, the fact that you stood your ground like that, it's not easy, but you did it for yourself, for the sake of your sanity, for the sake of protecting yourself, and I'm really proud of you for that. That's amazing stuff,
Thank
sis.
You.
On that note, would you ever go back?
No way. He closed that chapter, and looking back on it now, I would never go back to someone that would treat me like he did. And the thing is, I do wish that he had the guts to break it off with me before he started talking to someone else. But also, I kind of have a feeling that I think he would have kept me by his side if I didn't find out that he was messaging other women. And I keep reminding myself that he knew his actions were going to hurt me. He made that conscious choice to message that girl, knowing that it would hurt me. He didn't care about what he did and how it would impact me.
I'm so sorry to hear that. That is insane. Men do that, and it's disgusting. And he really... I feel like he didn't see, and it's unfortunate that he didn't see how much of a soulful, beautiful person you are. And sometimes that could be really hard to like, to have like a realization over, like, damn, like, it falls back to the question, am I not enough?
Yeah.
Like, am I not doing enough? Am I not enough? And what would be your advice to people who are currently going through a similar situation?
So my advice, if you're considering an abortion, is to speak to someone who is trustworthy.
Yeah.
For me, it was my sisters and a friend of mine who went through an abortion. It is hard, emotional, and distressing, but it's a choice where any decision has a lifelong impact.
Yeah, of course.
Find your support.
Yes.
Friends.
Yes.
Family.
Yes.
Counseling. Whatever works for you. It's really important to have that. For the relationship experience, I honestly hope that you guys don't experience what I experienced, but if you do, and if he breaks up with you, be strong enough to walk away.
Yeah.
You are worthy and valued, and if he isn't making you feel like that, is he really worth it?
Is he really worth it?
And my final advice is, if you find out that someone you love is hitting up other chicks, go no contact.
Yeah, literally block.
Block him.
As soon as you
Delete all the messages on social media. Oh, my God.
Delete the photos.
Delete everything. Even block his email. Like,
literally just get rid of him.
Get rid of him and...
get rid of the energy. Anything he bought you, I would have a friend. Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I have a friend who was like, oh, my exes all have... like, I have, like, a stash of just necklaces my exes or, like, various exes have bought me. She's like, if I wear them, it's just, like, negative energy.
Yeah.
Get rid of them.
Get rid of them. Like, I remember, like, giving him a whole box of everything he ever gave me.
Oh, good.
Even the artwork that we bought together. Like, I chucked that in there because I did not want that reminder.
Exactly. No matter what it's worth, it's not, it's valueless now.
And like, the thing is, like he did buy really nice stuff, like a Vivienne Westwood necklace. But I was like, no thanks. I don't want that sea perfume. Like,
exactly.
No, nothing.
No Louis Vuitton here.
No. But, yeah, you don't need a guy who would throw away your love for a quick fix of attention.
Beautiful.
Lisa. There's plenty of fish in the sea. And you don't need someone who's willing to lose you. And choose someone who chooses you.
I love that so much, Amber. What a beautiful way to end that, because I feel like, as mentioned before, it's hard to, like, now that you look back to something that you were in that was quite toxic, you're like, damn, I just needed to tell myself this all along. And you are so brave and, like, powerful for putting your foot down and telling this fella, I don't need you. I've never wanted you. And live without me. And that's that. That's on that, period.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff, my sissy. And everyone take Amber's advice. Take her advice. She knows what she's saying. She knows what she's doing. And that's deadly stuff, sis. That's awesome. Yeah, your boy, he had to put the city on the map. Boorooloo, my sister girl, you know exactly where it's at. Okay, now we're going to move on to sovereignty just quickly. I think we should do a combined sovereignty. Do you want to try that with me? I've never done this before. Well, I have with IJ, but essentially sovereignty is, it's a play on words. Get it? Sovereignty with T-A. Such a funny segment, but a very serious one. So we end our episodes with our sovereignties for the week ahead. So T stands for thoughts, energy, and affirmation for the week ahead. So what are your thoughts for the week ahead? Like, what do you got planned? What do you got going on? Like, for me personally, I mean, my thoughts of the week ahead are, you know, I've got busy with work and life at the moment. I'm packing for America. I'm going on quite a few trips and trying to establish a routine in my life again, yet again. But that's my thoughts for the week ahead.
My thoughts would be spend time with your family and friends. Beautiful. I think that's really important, especially, you know, just showing that you love and you care and you support.
Is that what you're going to do next week with your family and friends?
Yeah, like, I just, like, that's my priority. Like, I'm hanging out with people, making sure that they feel my love and support. So that's kind of what I'm going to do.
Beautiful.
And then I guess my other thought is just please drive safe. There's crazy fellas out there.
Oh, my God. Is that the story you were telling me?
Yeah.
Oh, my days with IJ and you seeing that car crash. That's crazy.
Literally, like, the guy, we were on Oxford Street having a lovely coffee at Oxford Yard, and there was this fella who literally crashed into a parked car. He drove off and then left the scene. And then 5 minutes later, like, I was down the street. I saw his car. Like, it was literally smashed up. Like, parked it in like one of the parking spots. And then I was like, you know, this is like you're paying it forward. I took a photo of his car rego, sent it to RJ. He was still up the street at Camera House. And she gave it to one of the owners who, like, he crashed the car into. So please drive safe. So
drive safe, guys.
Yeah.
Don't be. I just don't understand that. How, you know, you're in a very, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know you're in no condition to drive, but you're putting other people's lives at risk.
Exactly.
I'm such a Karen when it comes to that. Like, I get angry at the news. You know, I'm old. Like, I live by myself now. So every time I look at the TV and I'm watching the news and having dinner, and I do that. I do watch the news, everyone. I do. It's my iPad kid time. I, like, curse the TV and I'm like, why are people putting other people's lives at risk? I feel like an auntie when I do that, but anyway. What about your energy for the week ahead? Like, what are you going to focus your energy on?
I'm focusing on my gym rehab for my MCL. Whoop, whoop.
She's getting back on the field soon, guys.
Honestly, I'm hoping by the end of the season I'm back on the field, but I've hit like a physio rehab milestone. Beautiful. Where next week I'm allowed to start straight line running, but yeah. I have to be like strapped up and my physio has to be there. So that's my next milestone. So
I love that for you, sis.
Kind of my energy is making sure that my body's okay.
Your body, it's on your energy is going towards your body health and everything. That's amazing stuff, Jidge. And then affirmation for the week ahead. Do you have like an affirmation? And this is just for you. You can even say it to the listeners and our listeners can like use that affirmation for themselves, or you can apply it to yourself and what you want to affirm for the week ahead for yourself.
I think just my affirmation would be, we are worthy.
Oh, beautiful.
We are valued. We are loved. And we are no less than a person for the choices we make or made. For me, being vulnerable is a way back. What is a way to take back your power?
Mm.
Remember to love yourself and take time away to focus on what you want in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, if you ever need someone to talk to about any of the things I mentioned, please message me. My Instagram handle is at AUGLEHAYWARD.
That's right, guys. It's AMBER. Is it dot UGL?
So it's like A and then UGLEHAYWARD.
Is that your Instagram handle?
Yeah.
I thought it was just your name. Or maybe that's your name in the
bio.
Yeah, because I look at, because we message and it's just Amber Hugo Haywood. And I'm like, okay, deadly girl. No, that's amazing stuff, sis. We'll make sure our listeners do give you a follow and talk to you. And Amber's like everyone's big sister, so please message her. She's literally a sovereign sister for us as well. And you're amazing. And thank you so much for joining me today. Like, honestly, your story, I just knew everything you would say is just like a prophecy. You're so wise and amazing. And like, we are soaring for you. And we hope you get back on the field all healthy and happy. And really proud of your growth as well, sis. Like, it's so good to see you. Haven't seen you since high school, which is crazy. But I'm so glad we had this run in. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Always, sis, always. And to all our listeners, thanks for listening to Sovereign today. If you'd like to keep updated on what we're up to, you can follow us on the gram at Sovereign Podcast. If you'd like to share some thoughts on our episode or have any ideas, you can reach out on our email. We have an email now. We feel official. So our email is sovereign@rtrfm.com.au. And we'll see you next fortnight. Bye, everyone.
Bye. That's why
we... You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Cole Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker. Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna.
Our artwork is by my sis, Lavinia Nijolia McKenna.
Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.